So we, Curtis mentioned that Wednesday marks Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent, and we are going to be making a transition in our preaching series. The last few weeks during this season of Epiphany, we've been talking about what it means to be a missional church, a missional people, with that idea of missional being those who are sent. And today I want to wrap that up, but also just reiterate what Curtis said, that we're going to be moving into a series titled Rehab, of what do we need to do to rehab and put our spiritual lives back in order. Because while we've been talking about what it means to be missional, a key component of that is our spiritual lives. And so how we understand, how we relate to, how we experience God is going to be a key factor in our ability to be missional people and to be a missional church. So it'll be a little bit of a natural transition from this series to the next, and we hope that you'll be able to participate. Curtis mentioned some of those workshops that we're going to have. There aren't going to be a continuous building upon one another, but rather these are going to be freestanding workshops. We're going to be talking about rehabbing your spiritual life, and each week we want to be able to give you a workshop that here's a tool, here's maybe a spiritual discipline that you have not experienced or tried before, but maybe something that you can add to your toolbox of ways in which you connect with God. So we hope that you'll be able to participate in those. I want to read for you another passage of Scripture that I'll be referring to in my message this morning as well. This comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's verses 4 through 6. But in this case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Most gracious God, we give you thanks for the blessing of this day. And even though it's wet and icy and cold outside, we're grateful to be here. We're grateful for this warm place, this inviting place to come and to gather and to worship you. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would continue to be breathed into our midst, that as we worship, we would be breathing in your Spirit and be moved by your Spirit, that as your Scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, by your Spirit may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So growing up, I grew up in a household where my father was a very avid and still is a very avid hunter. And so I grew up hunting with him. I still enjoy going out when I'm able to, which isn't all that often, but for me, the things that I enjoyed about hunting the most were the things that just simply got me outdoors. And one of the things that I always marveled at from the time I was young to those times that I still have to go out are those early mornings. If you're deer hunting or turkey hunting, you go out while it's still dark. You get out there, you get situated and in place before the light even comes up, and then you wait. But it's a amazing waiting time, and maybe some of you are hunters, or maybe some of you have opportunities where you are out before the sun has risen. You're out and it's dark, and the world is so different when it's night out. Now, I'm not talking about in your backyard or in your neighborhood where there's street lights and stuff, but I'm talking about out where it's dark. You might see a few lights off in the distance, but it's dark. And the world has such a different appearance in the dark. In some ways, the world seems so much bigger because you just can't see or take in as much of it. And there may be starlight or moonlight that's still shining, but you just see silhouettes. You can see the tree line. You can maybe see hills or mountains depending where you are, or a farm or a barn off in the distance. But everything are just vague shapes. But the coming of the light, when dawn begins to break, you see light that begins to slowly fill the sky. But it's more than just a visual change. There is something palpable, something different about the coming of the light. Creation knows it. before that light begins to merge, just before, birds burst into song. Just before that light begins to break above the horizon, no matter how cold it is, there's this little bit of a warm breeze that begins to blow, almost as if the wind is moving ahead of the light that is coming. And then when the light breaks forth over the horizon, you can begin seeing and making out what's around you. You can begin adding detail to those trees and to the fields and the fence rows and the things that are around you. And as that light continues to grow, that light reveals the world around you as it is. Paul uses this image of light in his gospel, or in his writing to the church in Corinth. Paul has been under attack, saying, you're causing problems, you're diluting the word, you're standing in the way, you're causing dissension in the church. And Paul said, it's not me. I only proclaimed one thing when I came among you, and it was Christ and him crucified. And despite all of these accusations that they're throwing at him, he says, look, maybe God's blinded those who don't yet believe, but God is shining light into this world. And in verse 6 of that passage from 2 Corinthians 4 I read, Paul says, for it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness. Paul is going back to the beginning of Genesis. Paul is going back to the very creation story that we have recorded in the Bible. He is going to Genesis and saying, the God who spoke and said, let there be light, who spoke into the darkness and brought forth all of creation, the same God that spoke that light into the world, spoke the light of Jesus Christ into your hearts. God spoke, that God shined the light into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we could spend a long time talking about everything Paul packed into that sentence, but the summary is that Paul says, look, God revealed God's self to us through Jesus Christ. God made known his plan, his mission through Jesus Christ. The title of my sermon this morning is Missio Dei. It's a Latin phrase that means mission of God. And God's mission to this world is to make himself known and to make his love known to all people. And the way that God made that the most pronounced, the most evident, was through the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we could look at Scripture and see all of the places where people missed the point, didn't quite understand who this Son of God was. The Word became flesh. The world didn't understand that Jesus was God's Son. And we have the disciples who had packed up and followed him, stumbling over this idea of who Jesus was. Earlier in Mark's gospel, we have Jesus stilling the storm. And these disciples who had spent all of this time with Jesus, after the storm is calm, look at one another and say, who is this? They just don't get it. They don't understand the mission. They don't understand Jesus, who came to be the fulfillment of the mission. And so we find ourselves this morning with Jesus and a couple of the closest disciples, Peter, James, John. And Jesus takes them up to the top of a mountain. Now, I'm not sure that they really thought that there was anything special in this trip. I'm sure Jesus took off little study groups and broke the disciples up and had tutoring sessions with them, trying to get them to understand the point of it all. Up until this point, he hadn't been very successful. But they go up this mountain, and I'm guessing that traveling with the disciples was much like traveling with children. Are we there yet? I'm hungry. I have to go to the bathroom. Can we stop? This is boring. But they go, and they get to the top of the mountain. And then something happens. The Gospels tell us that this radiant light filled the skies. And the disciples saw Jesus standing there. And he was flanked by Moses and Elijah, two of the greatest figures for the people of Israel. Moses, the giver of law. Moses, who spoke on behalf of God and delivered God's law to the people. And Elijah, of all of the prophets, the one who stood out the most. So we have Jesus front and center, flanked by the law and the prophets. The things that determine and dictate and form a Jewish understanding of the world. And Jesus is in the center. Now, Peter, always quick to jump forward, says, this is it. We need to stay here. But I think their understanding came as they prepared to head back down the mountain. We weren't there. We have the words of the writers of the gospel that tell us that the mountain was bathed in light. Now, was it physical light manifesting from somewhere, or was it the light of Christ? To me, it doesn't matter. The point is that it was Christ. Whether it was light radiating for him or their understanding of Christ as the light of the world, Christ was the light. That for all of that understanding, for all of that framework, for all of those things that had dictated life for the Jewish people, the law and the prophets, suddenly Jesus steps forward. Suddenly Jesus is there and God is saying, you want to know what my mission about? There he is. He is the summary. He is the essence. He is what my mission is to be. Follow him. Do it in his name. Let him lead you, and he'll show you the way. It's important for us to consider this scene for a moment. There was something about Jesus that prompted those disciples to leave their homes, to leave their jobs, to leave, in many cases, their families behind, and go and follow Jesus. But I think for many of them, up until that point, they might not have been able to articulate exactly why they'd followed. But they did. And I think that it was in that moment, at least for those three, that it became crystal clear. That they, for the first time, truly understood. Because it was that light that God was shining on and in and through Jesus that allowed the disciples to see for the first time what it was all about. To see what God's mission was, to see what God's purposes were, and to see what their role was to be in helping to accomplish this mission that God has. We're a part of that mission. We're a part of those people that God is continuing to send to spread his love and to bring about his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We're a part of that sending forth, but it's only possible when we see the light of Christ shining as well. Now, missions are many things, and through this series we've talked about what are the ways that we're being called upon to be innovators? What are the ways that we're being called upon to be people who are sent into the world to make a difference? To look at the concerns and the needs and the things that we would label as wicked and evil in the world around us. What are the ways that we're being prompted and moved to go and make a difference in the light of those things? And to be the light that reveals those things for what they are. Now, we can look around our world today and we can see many good and wonderful things going on. There are people, there are organizations, there are agencies that do good work. But we don't always know what their motivation is for those things. For some, it might be ego. For some, it might be genuine altruism. For others, it may be an agenda or finances or gain that they have in mind for doing them. And we can look around and we can see think tanks and groups and organizations. We can see figures like Oprah and Bono that have a huge impact. We have political leaders like Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. But the truth of it is, none of them can hold a candle to Jesus Christ. Because every organization serving their own agenda, every individual serving a purpose other than Jesus, is beholden to somebody or something else. Politicians are beholden to those that finance them and to the voters. Celebrities are beholden to the populace that lift them up and make them celebrities in the first place. Even institutions and organizations are beholden to their boards and their financial backers, their investors, and the people that think we can get something back out of this. But as the church, as the body of Christ, when we stand in the light of Christ, when we allow Christ to be the light that guides us, we are beholden to no one. We are beholden to nothing except the one who shined the light. That's the advantage that we have. Because we don't have anything else that drives us but the light of Christ. And we might think that individually we're insignificant. We might think that our contribution is small. But the thing is, as the body of Christ, we are a part of the largest global network and connection of people that have a single purpose and a single aim in mind: to glorify God and to make His love known. That's God's mission. That's the mission that we are sent to be a part of, and not any one of us have to do it by ourselves. We do it together. On that mountaintop, those disciples that went with Jesus had their eyes opened, and for the first time, they understood that that's what the mission was. And they understood that Jesus was the one who was going to make that mission possible. Despite everything that had happened there, despite Peter saying, you know what, this is great, we need to stay here. After they became aware and understood what was going on, Jesus said, all right, come on, guys, back down the mountain. We've got work to do. Friends, we come to worship to experience that light of Christ. We send our kids and our youth off to camp that they might have those experiences where their eyes are open to the light of Christ. We go to concerts. We engage in study. We do things as a community of faith together to have our eyes open to the light of Christ and to be aware of the light of Christ in our midst and in our lives. But we don't do those things simply to do them. We do them so that when Jesus says, come on, back down the mountain, we understand that our calling is to be a missional people, to go, to be sent to the places that God needs us to go, that others might know and experience His love. The light of Christ is to reflect off of us. We are not lights ourselves. Much like the moon does not send out its light, own light, but rather reflects the light from the sun, we're to draw near to Christ and reflect His light to the world. Jen's children's moment illustrated that well, that the love of Christ that fills our lives is to rub off and touch others. So back down the mountains, friends. There's work to do. And may the light of Christ send you to be a part of making it real. Amen.